morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this morning that you've given us, dear God, this day. We ask, God, now that you've been with us, Father, in the heart of the worship, Lord, that you would now come, Lord, when the word is to be delivered, dear God, and you would speak to our hearts, dear God. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to read from Jude chapter, the book of Jude. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. You may be seated. Notice here that Jude said it was needful for him to write that they would earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. It wasn't something that they could be passive about. The real believers, what Jude was telling us, look, if you're really believers, you're going to have to contend for this faith because there's going to be opposition. You know, you're going to have to surmount some difficulty and dangerous times here as there is going to be an attack against the faith. Now, we said when we ministered on this before, we said, you know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's against demon powers. And turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's against demon powers. And, remember where Jesus said that it was going to be so close that it would deceive the very elect if possible. And you realize when you think about, for instance, when Brother Branham first came on the scene, and as he began to preach, we mentioned it on Thursday night, a quote where Brother Branham said he started out as a boy preacher, and he said, but now, he says, we've come to a place where I've got to have much more than that what I started with. And then we realize that the gospel of Jesus Christ, Brother Branham wasn't just another preacher that came on the scene, but it was actually God sending a prophet, because God always comes through the office of a prophet to bring the revelation of his word and for the people. And, you know, then that the word then is passed on from the prophet to look in the time of Elijah. Elijah made prophecy concerning the time of Jezebel and Ahab and what was going to happen. And then, you know, Elijah took off the scene. But even though Elijah was took off the scene, the word that he delivered wasn't took off the scene. And remember when Jehoshaphat come up there and he and Ahab were coming together to make a decision whether they were going to go to Ramoth-Gilead for battle. And so Ahab brings out all these prophets of Baal, you know, and then Jehoshaphat says, have you got one more? And then, so he said, yeah, but Ahab said, yeah, but he don't speak well of me. But they bring out Micah, you know, and the thing is, you realize that, they didn't play a tape of what Elijah had said. But what happened was another minister of the gospel, another prophet, actually says the same thing that Elijah had said. And you say, well, I get your point, but, you know, they didn't have such things as tape recorders and such back then. No, But you know, they would have, there were such a thing as writing and scrolls and so on. They didn't come out and read a scroll. It was actually God coming down and manifesting the word that had been delivered by the prophet through a ministry of that day. And so, you know, 1 Timothy, let's read there, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Now, let's go back to verse 1. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friends. When Brother, as I started to say, Brother Branham first came on the scene, what he was ministering in that, you realize what he was pointing at was the difference of the denominations had with the Pentecostal movement of that day. And he many times mentions, you know, how they called them holy rollers and such, and how they didn't believe in the Holy Ghost. And that, and you realize the people that Brother Branham was ministering this to, you realize as Brother Branham was coming to the revelation, and so were they. And here was the prophet of God coming on the scene that we realize now what his purpose was, God sending him, was to introduce Jesus Christ to this dying age, and not introduce Jesus Christ as John the Baptist did in the person of flesh, but actually to introduce him the word again. And you realize the reason this was necessary was because that from the time of the Dark Ages down through the age then of Luther and Wesley and that there had been a loss that had happened of many of the teachings and doctrines of the Bible. And so we realized that, you know, what Brother Branham was bringing at that time, the denominations, this is what I'm getting at, the denominations didn't seem to be that far off from what he was presenting, because he didn't come start presenting the seven church ages and the seven seals. You know, and so then they were presenting, and the Bible we'll read in a little bit, says they were presenting a form of godliness. And Brother Branham points at that. And he talks about how they were denying the power of the Holy Ghost, and how that what they were doing was, these denominations at the time, they were pointing at that Brother Branham, you know, it was reading minds and things, and therefore to try to proclaim that he was false. And what it was the devil trying to withstand the power of Jesus Christ. But the devil can't withstand the power of Jesus Christ. It's going to move forward anyhow, because the people of God are going to be anointed. Just as it says here, in the last times or in the last days. And you realize that these people in the last days, there is an anointing of the devil, the seducing spirits and doctrines of devil. There's an anointing that comes on the people in the last days. It's a spirit of the devil in the last days, but there is a spirit of God on the true believers in the last days. And you realize that as we realize we're in the last days, then those things have to be here. But now we're not dealing, you know, friends, look, now the message itself has grown to an extent now far beyond what it was when the prophet first came on the scene. When the prophet first came on the scene, there weren't message churches scattered around the world. You know, Brother Branham, many of the places he spoke, He spoke where, you know, at one time the denominations, some of them were welcoming him in, the Pentecostals and so forth, and then some of them began to shut the door on him, and the full gospel businessmen, you know, they sponsored meetings and had him in and things like that. But it wasn't like today. You know, today, you know, if we were to name, you know, some minister out of the message today who was, you know, he's not going out having meetings the way Brother Branham is. Instead, it's another message church that has invited that preacher of the message to come and hold some meetings for them. And so, you know, it's far different today. So what we realize today, the people of the message, the true believers, we're not having to contend with, you know, is speaking in tongues the evidence or not? We know it's not. We're not really having to contend with, you know, is there a Holy Ghost? Do people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? No, we know that. We believe that. But the thing about it is, there are other people that are claiming to believe what you believe. In other words, they're claiming to follow the end time prophet of the day, and they're claiming to be message believers, and they say, yeah, we believe in receiving the Holy Ghost, but you realize that for it to be so close to deceive the elect, the denominations are not close to us today. So how does Satan got to work? He's got to come in and get a lot closer to you. So the way to do it is to come in and we've seen it happen over the years. I look at my life and my time in the message and that, and many of you, you know, some of you are my age, some of you have been around as long, some of you, you know, have come in since, but some of you even longer than I had been around the message. And we have saw so many different preachers raise up that supposedly were supposed to be message believers that would try to project a doctrine that supposedly they came up with out of the message and draw people after that. And we've saw their gatherings and we've saw them grow and we've saw some of them fizzle out and go by the wayside. And now we're at this time, you know, and during those times, during the 1970s and that, you know, the early 80s and the times of some of these different doctrines like Seven Thunders and Parousia and, you know, Two Lords and all these different things, you know, at the time, you know, they, you know, for the people, they would look and they would say, you know, oh my goodness, you know, that is this right or is this not right? Or is it, boy, it sounds good, you know, they're reading the quotes right directly out of the message of what Brother Branham said. But it was the same spirit that was on the religious sect during the time leading up to the coming of Jesus. They were reading from the prophet's writings. They were reading from the scrolls. They were reading from all the prophecies and things and that. But they had so took and shaped them in such a way to where that they didn't even recognize the Messiah when he came. And I believe that that's what's taking place today. There are people that are taking and reshaping what we know as the message of the hour. That, you know, they've took these quotes and those quotes to try to project something, and they focus on that, and so they actually lose, you know, sight of actually the message as a whole, really. And, you know, but now what we're seeing, we're not seeing so much doctrines, for instance, like, Seven Thunders and all those things have, you know, they've had their time and they fizzle out. What is the main push today? We don't need a fivefold ministry. We don't need somebody getting up in the pulpit and preaching at us. All you need to do is push play. And look at what they're saying to project that as being what should be done. They're saying, look, that's the prophet. It's a one-man message. We don't need other men getting in there and mixing this all up. Listen, Brother Branham said, I preach what Paul preached. Yeah. How many believes that he preached what Paul preached? Well, if he preached what Paul preached, then and we would believe the way some of them are believing today, then why did we need Brother Branham? Couldn't we have just went back and read what Paul preached? Turn with me to the third chapter of 2 Timothy. Turn back to the third chapter. Verse 1 says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is what I want to get to. Verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, why did God send a prophet in this last day? You know, we said, well, to turn the people back to the word, to turn them back to what, you know, the word that was once delivered to the saints, to turn them back. But you realize, you know, if we took the mentality that many of them take today, you know, and you could have, you know, if they'd had recordings in Paul's day, you know, we could have just pushed play instead of having Brother Branham come. But the thing about it is, if people would have done that, what they would have been denying was the power of the working of the Holy Spirit today. Brother Branham said, one of the biggest mistakes men did was, he said, they were always looking back to what God had done or looking off to what they were looking at, what God would do. He said, and they were missing what God was actually doing right then. So what we've got today around the message is we've got people that want to point back to what God did in the ministry of Brother Branham. They want to point back to the working of the Holy Spirit in his ministry. But when they say that, you know, and they don't, you know, necessarily come out and say, no, we don't need a fivefold ministry. But it's what they're saying when they say that all you need to do is put a tape in there and push play and let the people hear that. That's what they're saying. What are they doing? They're denying the working of the power of the Holy Spirit today. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, you don't got to turn there, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul says that he came to preach Christ's gospel. Now turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, let's go down to verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after men, for neither received it, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, another gospel, Paul says. We're going after another gospel, but then he says, which is actually not another. In other words, it wasn't that people from the midst of the believers at that time raising up and saying, now, hold on, wait a minute. Now, we're not going to preach Jesus Christ anymore. No, they were still preaching Jesus Christ. They were still preaching the fundamentals of what had been delivered. But they had perverted the gospel. That's what Paul is saying. Now, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I know I'm going to be getting into this as we go through our teachings on Thursday night, but I just want to read it and just say a few brief things here. Here in verse 12 of chapter 15, 1 Corinthians. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching vain. And your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised? And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, yet ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Now, what was Paul dealing with here? He was dealing with that there was a teaching that started going out amongst the people, the message believers of that day. There was a teaching started going out, there's no resurrection of the dead. They weren't teaching that Jesus Christ hadn't come. They weren't teaching that Jesus Christ wasn't the Messiah. But what they were teaching was, there's no resurrection of the dead. Now, I know we look at that and say, well, man, they went a million miles off. That's so far-fetched, and as Paul was pointing out. But my thing is here, Paul began to point at some of these false teachings and doctrines of devils that were coming on the scene during his time. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their words will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, whom concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Hallelujah. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Now, Paul goes on further to talk about this teaching of the resurrection. And what they were saying was here that the resurrection had passed. They weren't saying that Jesus hadn't rose, but they were saying that all that's going to resurrect, they rose then. So the resurrection happened when Jesus resurrected. And so they were teaching the resurrection has passed. And Paul, contending for the faith, didn't tiptoe around about this. He named the two culprits. He named the two men. He called them out by name of who was doing this. And he said, concerning the truth, they've erred. They have erred concerning the truth. Now, don't get nervous. I'm not going to get up here and start calling out names of people today. You know, when I was bringing this and talking about those who had left the message and things, I didn't get up here and name out names and all that. And I know you can look back in my ministry of times past, and I had called out names and different things before, but that's not what I'm here to do today. Amen. What I'm going to point at is, and what I've been pointing at is, the doctrine of devils that's being taught. Another gospel. What's the other gospel? Well, the main thing of what I'm dealing with here today is the other gospel being we don't need the fivefold ministry anymore. Now, they won't come out and say that because they will say, well, no, we still got churches. And there are still, you know, pastors of these churches, but what they're telling the pastors of these churches is, you're not to preach. What you're to do is push play. Gather your people in and play the tapes. Friends, listen, when you play the tapes, listen, I realize, you know, I give you a testimony of when I was the devil was attacking me when I was took off all that medication and things, and how the devil come and attack me, you know, physically and mentally and these things, you know. And then my brother had sent me a quote, Brother Branham saying, when these things about this woman, she's got to feeling worse. He said, that's a good sign she's healed, you know. And so I said, when I read that quote, you know, something happened right there in my living room. So I'm not denying that. Okay, I'm not denying that that does happen yet today. I'm not denying that you can't listen to a tape and get something out of it. I'm not denying that you can't read a book and get inspired by something and get something out of it. I'm not denying that. But what I'm telling you is, all you've actually got when you've got the book in your hand is the letter. You need the Spirit of God. You look, if you read something and the Holy Spirit comes down and does something in your life, wonderful. But the thing about it is, friends, to say that God can no longer move through his fivefold ministry, you're denying the power of God. Is God so small that now that he sent a prophet, that God can't operate outside of playing a tape or reading a book? Listen, if you take what I have even preached so far today, you realize I'm bringing this from the scripture, and I'm bringing it, and I have read you things that Brother Branham has said, but look, I also told you, what Brother Branham, there was a time in his ministry, what he was pointing at was the opposition of the denominations against the truth. Even when Brother Branham preached about it being so close to receive the very elect if possible, brother, look, there wasn't a movement of the message like there is today. There weren't churches that say they believe the message established around the world. There wasn't a world move of it like that. But there is today. And so the devil must be, his work must be identified today for what it is. I read to you what Paul said about what they were teaching, Hymenaeus and Philetus, and saying that the resurrection of the dead is past and all that. We're not having to deal with that today. So if all I had was that to read to you what Paul said and not actually the spirit of what Paul said, then it would be of no help to you. But you realize the Spirit of God comes down, and then it, like he's doing here, he's taking me through the word and taking me through the message and pointing to what the devil's doing today. And it's a dangerous thing. You know, I want to show you just how far this went. I know it's been a few years because of the pandemic and everything else. It's been a few years since the last time I was in the Philippines. But I'll tell you something that I came across while I was in the Philippines was the whole thing about just pushing play. And there had been different technological instruments and things that had been shipped from here in the States over there to these different people in groups that said they believe the message in that, and for them to be able to hear what was going on and what was being told them. This is what they told me. What was being told them was, look, it wasn't even like, for instance, you know, it wasn't like, okay, we got a group, a church, and this, you know, and there's a pastor, and that pastor should play the tape. So that pastor should pray and get the leadership of God for what tape he played. No, that's not what they were saying. What was being told them was there was going to be one person that was going to get the leadership for what was going to be played for that given Sunday. And what that one person was going to play, he was going to play up there in Jeffersonville, and that's what everybody else need to be listening to, the exact same message, whatever tape that was being played. So you see, he said, what are you pointing at, Brother Jerry? I'm telling you, they're saying, okay, what, the power of God couldn't work through the local ministries of these churches in the Philippines and different places? The Spirit of God couldn't work through them? You couldn't even trust a man to get up and let the Spirit of God work through him to play a tape? It's another gospel, because realize, friends, listen, none of this is what the prophet taught. The prophet, listen, friends, Brother Branham, he has said in places in the message, he would make a statement before he started preaching, he would make a statement and say, you know, about sitting and listening to Brother Neville preach. And he says, I have got so many sermons off of one sermon that he preached. What? So Brother Neville would preach a sermon that God laid on his heart, and there would be some things that he would say that would inspire Brother Branham, and from that, Brother Branham would preach. Now, that's not taking away that, yes, Brother Branham was God's prophet, and God did come and bring his word through Brother Branham. But look, friends, you got to realize how the inspiration of God works. Brother Branham's out hunting. And while he's out hunting, he looks down, and some actual horrible person who don't care anything about the environment throws an empty pack. Cigarette pack on the ground and leaves it. And Brother Branham looks at this and sees on there a thinking man's filter, a smoking man's taste. And so Brother Branham gets inspired by that to preach a thinking man's filter and brings the religious application of that for that day. So, yeah, Brother Branham could get inspired from hearing a sermon that Brother Neville preached. But my point is this. If Brother Branham, if the message he was bringing that God wanted to deliver to us was that you only needed to hear Brother Branham, then why was he sitting there listening to Brother Neville? And realize this, my friends. When Brother Neville was preaching and Brother Branham was speaking about this, they didn't have, Brother Neville didn't have available to him what the ministry has today to be able to research through all the messages that the prophet had preached and say, okay, I got this scripture, the Lord is laying. What did Brother Branham say about it? Brother Neville couldn't do that. So even that time era, the message hadn't become at that time what it was going to become. But even after the seals were opened, Brother Branham never brought out and said, now that we've got this, you know, and you know, God has sent the seventh angel message, all the mysteries of God according to Revelation chapter 10 and 7 have been revealed. Now all you need to do is just listen to what I have preached. Just listen to my tapes. We don't need preachers anymore. Brother Branham never said that. Brother Branham never told people to stop going to church. Brother Branham would go into a town and he would have meetings, and he wouldn't have the meetings to be on Sunday morning. If they came in on meetings and the meeting was going to be held over from like Friday, Saturday, and on to Sunday and that, then what he did, he didn't have a meeting Sunday morning. He encouraged the people, go to your home churches. And then he would come back and have a service that evening. If Brother Branham was going to bring what they're saying today, then why didn't Brother Branham say, look, you know what, all y'all need to do, you need to leave all your churches. You need to quit going to church. You just need to listen to my tapes. I mean, yeah, we've had those that have rose up around the message that have, they would rise up in different churches, and I knew some of, there's actually a brother that I knew from my childhood that Brother Phil ended up knowing, and me and Brother Phil didn't even know each other back then. And this same man, he had come and visited in our church that up there in Lorain years ago when I was a kid and started visiting among the people and all this and other. And what he was, them was, what he eventually came out with was, we don't need to gather in the church anymore. And so there was people that, you know, they after a bit, they stopped assembling in churches. They stopped assembling themselves together anymore. You know, a few would assemble in a home somewhere, you know, and listen to a tape and that. But many of them didn't even do that anymore. And they were scattered here and yon and all that, you know, and that. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of that, you know, it's not like it's completely gone. It's still around, but not around in the strength as it was maybe at one time. What it is today is we've got to, you know, you need to play a tape and you need to get in connection with headquarters to find out what tape you should be playing for that given Sunday. What have we done? What are they doing? The very thing that Brother Branham said always happened, what always followed a man of God's ministry was the people, he said, trying to protect the word, the truth. They organized around it. And he says, and whenever they'd done that, it died right there. Now, it wasn't that the gospel died. It was the people that organized this around this, whatever their proclamation was or their doctrine or teaching. The people that organized around that, they're the ones that died. Brother Branham, in the message of It Is the Rising of the Sun, he was speaking about Paul talking about there being another gospel. He said what Paul was saying was, I'm so surprised that you've turned to another gospel. He said, which is not another, but it's a make-believe gospel, a denominational fiction. Well, today what I'm talking about is not denominational fiction. What I'm talking about today is actually so-called message believer fiction. Now, what is fiction? Fiction is, if you know anything about reading books and things like that, you know, there's books that are wrote that are about facts and things that's happened in history, and those are called nonfiction. And then there are books that are wrote of things that have just been come up out of somebody's mind that's not real, never happened, people that didn't even exist. And that's fiction. And people trying to escape from a reality, many of them like to read a fictional story to try to, you know, get their mind into that so that they can actually escape from whatever they're going through at the time. But now, you know, what this other gospel today, it's not projecting a fictional person, but what it's projecting is a fictional gospel, because they're promoting things that the prophet never taught. Where in the message could they have possibly got that what needed to be done was one person, God move on them to say what tape needed to be played for that Sunday and send that out around the world, and all the message churches around the world play that given tape on that Sunday? Where did they get that from? It's fiction. It's another gospel. But see, the thing is, they're not denying the fundamentals. They're not saying that they don't believe in the Holy Ghost. They're not saying they don't believe in the prophet. They're not saying that they don't believe in the works of the Holy Ghost that happened through the prophet. Well, what about, is the Holy Ghost not able to still work today through me? Listen, friends, look, when you go to the scripture, and Brother Branham points these out. When Brother Branham brought out, he said, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And he brings out, what was the thing that God was trying to do? And what it came down to was three things. And what the third thing was for God to actually manifest himself through his people. So let me be clear on this. I'm not saying that the only place that God can manifest through is the fivefold ministry. What I'm saying is the reason God still speaks through the fivefold ministry today and does manifest his word through the fivefold ministry is because God's wanting to get that to his bride, because ultimately what he wants to do is have his bride manifesting it. It didn't say these signs shall follow the preachers. these signs shall follow the prophet. It said, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. If they touch any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. Jesus wasn't just speaking that to be for preachers. God wants to manifest himself through the people. God doesn't want to stop with just, I manifested myself through the prophet. God doesn't want to come down and just stop with, I manifested myself through Jerry Browning. God wants to manifest himself through you, not just your husband, sister, but through you as well. And through your children. God wants to manifest himself through the lives of his people today. He wants to manifest his power of the gospel through you. Not just manifest the power of the gospel through Brother Branham, but manifest it through you. Hallelujah. Now, I realize, you know, how people's faith works and things. And, you know, if they were to think, you know, that somebody was possessed with the devil or something, a family member or something, you know, they would want to say, well, you know, hey, let's get them to come to church and get them prayed for and all that. But I want to tell you something, friends. Look, you know, you don't need me to come visit your house every time the devil comes into your house and brings an attack against you and your family. You can send him notice and put him on the fly. Because you're a believer. These signs shall follow them to believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. That's the power of the gospel working through you. Brother Ram said, look, the gospel isn't just teaching the word. He said, because the Bible said the letter killeth, but the spirit bringeth life. So it's not just teaching the message, but it's what has been delivered becoming alive in the people, and the power of the gospel is actually not the letter of the word or the letter of the message, but it's actually the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in your life. That's the power of the gospel. Look, this is not my opinion. This is what the prophet taught. The hand of the Lord came upon him. Brother Branham preached this, and he said, them same teachers back there that condemned Jesus Christ, they were scholars to the minute. They were far beyond our seminary students today in the word. They were holy men. No one could put a hand on them. They had to be holy. They had to be righteous. They had to be blameless, but yet powered by Satan, didn't recognize the Son of God and condemned and killed him. That's right. And that spirit lives on today. People who are just as fundamentally, just as scholarly and teacher as they can be, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof, the Bible said, from such turn away, brother. They know the word so perfect. Just set it in order. Lay it out there in such a masterpiece, yet know no more about God than a Hottentot knows about an Egyptian knight. The only thing they know is just the word. The letter killeth, the spirit giveth life. It's the life comes from the word made manifest. Go ye into all the world and manifest the power to all nations. Preach the gospel, not teach the word, preach the gospel. The gospel's not through teaching the word, it's through the word made manifest. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall cast out devils and heal the sick, and great signs and wonders. You see it? There it is. The gospel made manifest. The gospel made manifest. Look, friends, you've got to be able to manifest Christ. You know, the thing is, if you can't manifest through your life Christ, then I'm going to tell you something. You've got nothing to reach those out there that have never heard. If all we've got, and I know, you know, there'll be many people, I get in a whole lot of trouble for what I'm getting ready to say, but if all we've got is books to pass out, we're no different than the Jehovah Witness. We're no different. We might as well just go door to door and pass out message books. That is not what Brother Branham says. This to me. He says, look, it's not about passing out tracts. It's about manifesting Jesus Christ in your life. Look, somebody sees Jesus Christ manifest in your life. You know, perhaps they've saw there's been a change that has actually happened in you. You've become a new person and they see it. Then, you know, if there's anything in that person to thirst after God for, you know, then their thirst is going to be quickened by that. You're leading them to Jesus Christ. Look, Brother Rowell, when he was living, you know, he used to have these, I think it was called expos, that he had over in the Philippines. And he would, you know, go into a place and sometimes... some of the times, I guess he would get some of the local message ministry to kind of help support this. And other times, he would go in and just set something up in that. And what it was to go in and introduce this end time word to a people that had never heard it before. But I'm going to tell you something. The way he did that was by preaching the gospel. We've had new ones that have come in here, and you know, keep them in prayer, because I realize the devil would like to just snatch them right out. But we've got new ones that's come in here, and some of them, you know, they'd never heard of the message, they'd never heard of the prophet. But they had a thirst and desire in their life for a change. They had something, a thirst, and they knew it was going to take God to bring a change. And so they came. And they're coming, and God's working through their lives. And you know, this is something, you know, you've got them that come, and then after they've been here and God's working through their lives, maybe, you know, perhaps they were a drug addict or even a drug seller or whatever they call that, drug pusher or whatever. But they, and, you know, the family never worried about them then. But now that they've come here and God's working through their life, all of a sudden some of the family members are worried. So they're going online and doing some research on William Branham and things, and going back and telling them, hey, you know, he preached this thing called serpent seed, and, you know, you got to be careful. That's a cult. It's the devil. Why weren't these people worried about him when they were strung out on meth? Something that was taking their life. All of a sudden, it's, you know, they don't do the drugs no more. They don't sell the drugs no more. You know, they start going to church. Their life starts changing, you know, and all of a sudden people get worried. It's the devil. But here's the real point I wanted to get to by saying this. You realize what's happening. Yes, they are, over time, they are being presented with the truth that God sent a prophet in this end time, and that God did open his word and revealed the hidden things that were hidden, things that had been lost. But how is God going about doing that? By a manifestation of preaching of the gospel. We had one young man that was coming here, you know, and he seemed to be moving along, you know, he, you know, made statements to me that, you know, he had been looking for a church to go to, somebody who actually taught out of the Bible. And he says, "And I believe you're doing that, Brother Jerry. That's what I see. You're teaching out of the Bible and that." Well, then over some time from hearing different things I said, his curiosity got piqued somehow or the other and that, and he wanted to know, "Hey, look, I hear you mention Brother Branham and that so much and things he said. Says, is there any books about him?" I said, "Yeah, sure." And so, you know, we showed him where they were, and, you know, he got some books and that, and I've never heard from him again. But, and I trust that, you know, and I know if he's a seed of God, he's not going to be thrown. He'll come back. But I'll tell you this, he has saw the manifestation of the power of the Holy Ghost today through the gospel. Not just... You know, look, friends, the Methodists pointed back to John Wesley. The Lutherans pointed back to Martin Luther. And they organized, and the people died. And friends, look, we know that Martin Luther, you know, he made the first exodus from that Catholic doctrine. But look, the people didn't go far from it. The Lutherans really aren't that far removed from Catholicism. I've heard some preachers of the Message in the past that what they had to offer to preach when they were trying to teach young people about receiving the Holy Ghost, they pointed at some kind of a feeling or something. And they were supposed to be Message believers. Well, they hadn't got too far from Pentecost teachings. I felt this and I felt that. And yet some of these same ones that were teaching that, friends, they didn't believe the seventh seal was open. They didn't believe in the opening of the word. They didn't preach the opening of the word. What did they have to offer? Not much more than actually what the denominations had to offer. Yeah, they had some teachings on actual fundamental doctrines of the Bible. You know, they may have their Godhead and their water baptism and things, you know, that have been brought out by the prophet. But what were they manifesting to the people they were preaching to? I believe that the power of the Holy Ghost, when the Holy Ghost comes into a person's life, it not only changes them from what they were, but it actually brings to life in them the seed of God. and that person is a new creature, then what they're doing is not because a church says this is what you should do and this is what you shouldn't do, but there's actually been a change that's happened. And it's not only that, but this life that has come because of the preaching of the gospel come alive when the word crosses that heart, then that individual is able then to have the things of God revealed to them. Have what Jesus is doing today revealed to them in their lives. Amen. You know, I believe we're coming to a showdown. Brother Branham spoke about Noah, and he said, you know, when Noah went into the ark, when God told him to go into the ark, and God shut the door. You know, the scripture tells it. He was in there for 7 days before the first drop of rain fell. Brother Branham said that was his test. That was the showdown. And he said God allowed Noah to be tested. Do you believe what you have preached? Now, he built an ark, spent 120 years preaching about there's going to rain. And then, you know, and he'd done all this because he believed God has spoke to him. And then he goes into the ark because he believes God has spoke to him. And he goes into the ark. And don't you think the devil didn't come and say, are you sure that was God that told you to come in here? There is no rain falling out of the sky. He had to be tested. It's a showdown to see if you really believe, Brother Branham said. Let me read this to you and we'll close. He said, a minister was telling me a little story about one of his congregations. Said he told him, he said, I can walk a log. And he said, sure, Pastor, the Lord is with you. And he says, I can pack a log across my back while I walk across the log across the water. And he said, sure, the Lord is with you. And he went on and he says, I can pack a log and wheel a wheelbarrow across at the same time. And he said, sure, Pastor, the Lord is with you. Your faith can do anything. He said, I can put you in the wheelbarrow and pack the log. And he said, now, wait a minute. And he said, it's different when you're included in it yourself. He said, this man was all, yep, you can do it. Amen. He said, but when all of a sudden he says, I can also take you across at the same time. So, hold on, wait a minute. See, come to a showdown, did he really believe or not? So, contending for the faith. Brother Branham says this, I was reading this in the message of contending, earnestly contending for the faith, and Brother Branham said, he said, now, if you want to see the devil, look out there, he got them men out there, and seen them do such things as that. Now, if someone said, do you mean that was a devil? What other thing would interfere with God's spirit but the devil? Certainly, a bunch. And I look back through the message and things, trying to find exactly what Brother Branham instantly was talking about. But I couldn't actually locate it because I just came across this quote this morning, so I didn't have a lot of time. But he's speaking of something that happened to try to stop the meeting. And he says, certainly a bunch of preachers turned them out there to do that exactly, to try to stop the meeting. But you can't stop God. God will move right on just the same. There's no more nothing, simply nothing can stop God, the power of God, certainly. Them same people, they don't repent. They'll lay in hell forever. He said, you say, you're judging. He said, no, I'm not. By their fruits ye shall know them. That's right. That's exactly right. Watch today. We're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. So here, he said, some preachers got some people together to try to prevent them from holding the meeting. And Brother Branham says, if they don't repent of doing that, they're going to spend time in hell. He said, they're going to lay in hell forever. And then he said, no, you say you're judging. I mean, that's a big thing today. People said, don't judge now. He said, you say you're judging. He said, no, but by their fruits you shall know them. What was their fruits? They were trying to, what Brother Branham's saying is, they were trying to stop the power of God that was going to work through the meeting. And Brother Branham says, by him saying this, he's saying, what was he doing? He says, I'm contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Hallelujah. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning, God. And I ask, God, that you'll take and bless it to the people, dear God. I pray, Lord, as we have set aside this day, Lord, this service, Lord, that we would come together and have a little dinner together in time of fellowship, Father. I pray that you'll bless that time of fellowship, Lord. May, Lord, that your people be edified by the fellowship with one another, God, we pray. And give you praise in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.